It's April 16th, 2001, and we're in Boulder, Colorado. We have the wonderful privilege of being with Ken Wilber in his home, and we're going to get to spend some time asking him some questions and listening to what he has to say.
Yeah.
So, Ken, let's start out talking about the Integral Institute. I wanted to know how I was doing in general, especially on the practical and pragmatic level in the wake of what's been happening in the stock market and people pulling money out, and how that's affected what you've been doing with II.
Well, you've also had, this can be a real dialogue because of the experiences you've had with Enlightenment.com, yes?
Yes.
There are many ways to talk about the immediate impact it had on Integral Institute. One of them is that basically we lost $100 million in pledges in about a 8-month period. And it's not every day you lose $100 million. It left me feeling a little cranky and testy. Mm-hmm. In terms of what it's actually done, the scope of Integral Institute hasn't changed. And the money itself, we still have several other pledges lined up for, frankly, comparable amounts. And we'll know how these unfold over the next year. The economic situation, of course, could not be worse. It's just a crying shame that the bubble burst during this period. A lot of companies that should have gone out of business went out of business, but it took down a lot of work that was really top-notch and didn't deserve to go out in that ignoble a fashion.
So are any of your projects at II still going forward, like, let's say, the Encyclopedia of Transformation?
Sure. Yeah, we're still funding that. We're still carrying the human change process core team forward. We also refer to that as the human transformation team. They're working on an Encyclopedia of Human Transformation, a complete literature review of all known forms of transformation for human beings. Because transformation seems to be a major concept that everybody talks about, but we really don't have a good literature review on what's out there, mm-hmm. number one. And number two, the type of research. What evidence is there that any of these things that say they transform people actually transform people? And there are a lot of different ways you can at least try to look at that and get a handle on it. We're certainly doing that.
So in the meantime, though, let's say the grants that people could write to for II, none of that's happening while...
No. What's happening right now is one of the main things we wanted to do with that original $100 million was to get it to as many people as possible doing work in this field, the general field of integral studies and integral endeavors. And that's one of the reasons that I started Integral Institute, was to act as a funding source for people doing this kind of work, because the marketplace doesn't reward truly integral studies at all. It rewards sort of new age approaches to it. It rewards sort of the experiential workshop approach, as it were. It rewards the green meme and the purple meme and everything in between, but it does not reward truly integral studies. So the only way we're going to get real work done in that field is, frankly, if we have funding agencies that will do that. And then once the real work is done and the research is done, you start producing really solid texts and presentations and articles and research, then we can create a market off of that. But that's going to be probably 3 years from now. So what we've done at Integral Institute, the biggest change in our orientation happened not because of the market, but quite independent of that. It's something, a change we would have made whether the market went up or down. And that is, we went from being a kind of community of some 400 founding members to focusing more on producing what we call integral product, actual books, texts, academic material on in each of the 10 branches. So we're working on books in, for example, what is integral politics, what is integral business, integral medicine, integral law. Because what we found is that because there were no really strong statements about an integral approach to any of these fields.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the reasons why academics can ignore it completely.
It can ignore it completely. And the other thing we found is that most people with very, very good intentions would simply take what they're doing and call it integral, mm-hmm. when it really wasn't. They were leaving out certain aspects of the human condition that ought not to be left out. And we could demonstrate that to them, and they would say, okay, I guess what I'm doing is not integral. So before we can build community or create a market or have a web presence or have conferences, we have to produce specific texts in each of these 10 branches put together by one of our core teams of, you know, recognized scholars and researchers, saying this is our best shot as an opening statement about what integral business is, integral politics, integral education, integral medicine, integral law, integral psychology, integral spirituality, and so on.
So that may answer this next question. I got quite a few questions from graduate students in different areas saying, I'm an anthropology grad student, and what do I do to try to bring an all-quadrants, all-level approach into my university without completely alienating the powers that be? Or how can a psychology graduate student become more involved with integral studies and help booster the efforts in a green meme school? And it's sort of like they're dying out there for these kind of supporting materials.
That's exactly what we found. And until we have a series of really well-done, well-documented textbooks, if you will, on here's integral anthropology, here's integral law and criminal justice, here's integral medicine, until we have these series of statements, the field has no traction. It has no way to really move forward. Whereas if you do have a book on integral approaches to education, for example, and it's a textbook with eight authors, and it's some, you know, we plan on having these things be, you know, 300 and 400 pages long. We want to make a real academic statement to begin with. And again, this is not the final word, it's the opening word. It's our first approximation of what an integral approach would actually look like. It is truly all quadrant, all level, all lines, all states. Mm-hmm. Anything less than that's not going to be integral. And then once we have this kind of book on, let's say, integral anthropology, and this student calls up and says, I'm going to Arizona State, for example, I would like to take an all quadrant, all level, all line approach to anthropological research. My professors think I'm nuts. What should I do? And we say, well, give them this 400-page textbook, and here's, you know, 300 references, and here's supporting documents, and that will give them something to look at and respond to. Mm-hmm. And then if they have criticisms of it, we'd love to hear it, because we're going to keep refining these things over the years. But we have to have a statement, a really strong academic statement to begin with, because otherwise the field is simply going nowhere, and it has gone nowhere in 30 years.
So on top of the kind of the orienting framework that you've set up, you're really hoping to fill it out so that, I mean, you know, the reality is that if you go into Barnes & Noble's, you find your work in the New Age section. That must be really galling.
It would be, except the New Age section gets 80% more traffic than any other section.
There you go.